Welcome to The Scott Townsend Show, brought to you by Dietzel Man Productions.
Hey, this is Scott Townsend, and you're watching, listening to The Scott Townsend Show. And today I have with me a special guest, a good friend of mine, Paul Sally. Paul, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great. Great. Paul is a territory manager with ABB, and he's been with ABB for over seven. I mean, it's probably going to be like 16 years.
About 16. Yeah, about 16 years.
Wow. Is it snowing up there where you are, or over there where you are?
No, it's been raining all night. It's still sprinkling a little bit right now. So
yeah, we got a decent amount of snow today. So
yeah, we're supposed to get some snow.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know if you could hear that or not, but the snowplow just drove by and made a bunch of racket. So I asked Paul to come on the show today and talk about his adventures, not with oil and gas, but his new hobby, or I don't know what you would call it. I don't know what you consider it, but you started a new YouTube channel. So yes, we'll go into that here in just a minute. But first of all, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had Cocoa Pebbles.
That's good.
Every morning it's been eggs and bacon and whatever. I was off last week. So that was, my wife always hooks me up with eggs and almost every morning.
Yeah.
Today, well, yesterday was her birthday, so.
Oh, congratulations.
I didn't make her cook this morning, so I was pretty lazy this morning. So just Cocoa Pebbles. Yeah.
Cocoa Pebbles. Yeah, is that the one with Cocoa Pebbles? Is that the one with Bam Bam or?
Yes.
I haven't heard about those guys since I was watching cartoons on Saturday morning.
Well, I still have a ton of kids at the house. So, you know.
Yeah.
Plus it was an unopened box, which is rare in my home. So I made sure
to hands digging in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. The YouTube channel that you started, Castafly, how did you get, what got you interested in YouTube, and how long have you been doing this now? Let's start from the beginning. Tell me a good story here.
So really, I mean, I think you can probably look online and get the stats on it, but due to COVID and people being at home, of course, they're watching more YouTube and watching more online streaming, whatever. And, you know, really it kept us from going out and doing things, which isn't a bad deal. Mm-hmm. It actually brought me closer to home and, closer to my family. And we were able to do some things around the house together as a family, which is awesome. Always awesome.
Right.
But through this, as I was getting older, I, decided that, man, I wanted to really kind of leave a legacy for my kids about me and about what I do and what I love to do, and what better place to do it and what better platform to do it than YouTube. And so really wanted to try to put some stuff, travels together for us as a family and me personally, of course, and share that with our friends and family out there. And of course, there's such a huge community of off-road overlanders and folks that like to travel and you know, camp and fly fish. Why not? Let's do it. So kind of just started up one day and I said, I'm just going to do this. Why not? So I have such a passion for marketing. And so that was easy for me. It's been easy for me to try to market my own brand.
How did you get interested in marketing? You've been a good marketer. You know, you and I worked together for 7 years for me. And I was always impressed with your marketing acumen. And you were great to work with. Although sometimes you were a pain in the butt because you would go off on your own.
Hey, man, I always helped you set up. And tear down.
Exactly. You always did help set up and tear down. I'm just being funny here. But you you kind of go your own way a lot of times, which I admired. And it's kind of hard to do that in a corporate setting, but, you know, you were kind of out there on your own. And you always kind of, you always seem to make it work and come up with good ideas. Where did your interest in marketing, I mean, can you remember back what sparked that?
Well, I appreciate you saying that stuff, Scott. It means a lot to me. I appreciate that. I think really, I mean, I came from the entertainment business industry, worked in theaters for almost 17 years of my life. And with that, you know, it's customer service driven, you know, almost every day, you know? So I think that's where it kind of started. And maybe where I got it from, but, man, I just, every day I'm thinking about something new or a new way to do something. I don't like to sit still with, you know, doing the same thing over and over again. And so I'm always trying, I'm passionate about trying to find a new line to go down and, you know, mix it up a little bit. And,
when you mentioned
sometimes it works.
When you mentioned the movie theaters, was it a movie theater or movie theaters? What was it about the movie theaters that got you going in this direction? What was it about that? It wasn't popping the popcorn.
No. When I was in high school, a lot of my friends worked at fast food and stuff like that, and that just wasn't my cup of tea. No offense to anybody doing that, but that just wasn't for me. But movies always interested me, always. Still have a ton of movie gear here at the house even. You know, I have projectors and films and you name it.
That's cool.
But that was just something that I was passionate about and really started in high school, ran all the way through high school, and then worked for IMAX, a company that ran IMAX theaters in Branson. And so worked there for like 7 years and was a projectionist, you know. Always interested me, though. It was amazing technology. Great group of people I worked with there. Always met a lot of neat people. Across whether it be internally within IMAX or sound system people that, you know, came through, and even customers, you know, so it was always a mixed bag of something every day, something new. Early on, I remember sitting in projection booth, and starting this movie, and I was previewing the movie to make sure it was all spliced together properly. And this is before digital, of course.
Right.
I don't know what it was, but that day it hit me that the movie hitting the screen right now, I'm the last leg of everything, you know, that was put together. So from the writing, from the directing, from the editing, from the actors, you know, everything. I'm the last person to push play, right? To make it all work.
That's interesting.
And I don't know what it was, but from that point on, it was like, man, that's pretty, that's, you got, and that meant that the screen had to be right. And the transitioning had to be right. And
theater's got to be clean and
yeah, it's a production.
Lights got to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was me. That's me in a nutshell, really. I want to make sure that it's right.
Have you ever had a movie burn up on you?
No. Back in the day, we used to have to move prints. And so a lot of the prints, you know, aren't as long, of course. There's shorter films. But when you get something like Lord of the Rings or something like that, that's massive print, something right. 3 hours long, like Titanic or something. We used to have to move the prints with these clamps from theater to theater. I can't ever remember a time where I actually physically dropped one. I mean, I had, but caught it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I used to manage a group of guys up in Chicago, and I had walked away to go do something and come back, and I got a phone call that they had dropped the entire print. And, it, and when I got there, when I got there, it filled the floor, man. It was everywhere. And so, and if you start just picking it up, then it gets all tangled up. So you kind of have to pick it up, you know, piece by piece and just keep going.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's not fun.
Steven Spielberg may create the greatest movie that he's ever done in his life, but if the guy at the very end screws it up somehow, it ruins it for everybody. Or at least
that's right.
Showing.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's how I felt every time, man.
So what it was that you talked about getting interested in YouTube. So you finally pulled the trigger and wanted to capture some family memories and experiences and leave a legacy. And I didn't know you were into fly fishing.
Yeah.
Or did you just get into that?
I've always been into fishing. I started fly fishing many years ago. And this is way, maybe 20 plus years ago. And I had been, I was actually traveling back, from, I believe it was from Chicago, moving back to Kansas, and my car broke down. And I had to leave my car on the side of the road, and I had to leave some of my stuff in the car. And all my stuff got stolen. And so it really... I don't know. I didn't fly fish forever after that. Hmm. But I don't know. Just something just ate me up.
Your gear got stolen. Then,
yeah. So then when I, when we started talking about moving from Kansas, to Arkansas, which we had talked about for quite some time, you know, one of the main things, the reasons why to move here was to get our kids out away from the TV, away from electronics, get out into nature. My kids have always been nature kids. They always want to hang out outside all the time. And so this place where we live now, we've got so many opportunities to hike and hunt and fish and just explore the Ozarks. It's kind of a no-brainer. And really was, I don't know, a way to get back to where we really wanted to be as a family. And, so like I said, I'm excited about 2021 because we're going to be doing some camping trips, which we really haven't done since we moved here. But the fly fishing part of it, you know, I started up, right when I actually, before I even moved here, I came and visited a few times and really got hooked. And then, no pun intended. I took a trip with my buddy, up to Colorado a few years ago, and that really helped kind of push me even more, back into fly fishing. So shout out to Kelly. Thank you, Kelly.
It's pretty obvious you enjoy it. At the channel is called A Cast a Fly. Good title, by the way. Good logo, by the way, which really chaps my ass because you. Here's Paul Sally at it again. He beat me to it. No, I like my logo too. But when I saw your Cast a Fly logo, I was like, "Hey, that's really good. I like it, and I like the animation in it." There's is that at the end of this? Is that at the end of the show? Each show? How did you do?
Yeah, I think I left it out on the last one I did. But that's another cool thing about the production of the YouTube channel is that there's so many tools now. I mean, just to be honest, I edit my entire production on my iPad.
Yeah.
I'm using iMovie a little bit is where I started. And then I did buy a program, an editing program, which is really cheap. I think it's like 10 or 12 bucks a month. And it gives me a little extra tools, a little extra, you know, stuff to do with it. But there's some also intro and extra type apps out there that'll let you build something like I built in mine.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I did.
What's the app you use?
Let me look. I'll pull up my iPad here. So Video Leap is the current video tool that I use for editing all my video production. Intromate is how I did the outro.
Okay.
And I used it for one of my first videos, which for my intro, but I went away from that. And then for my logo design and stuff like that, instead of like buying some Photoshop or, you know, I use a cool app called Vintage Logo. Hmm. And it lets me use a lot of their theme stuff already, but you can start again on the fly and do your own thing and kind of manipulate whatever logo you want. So I use a service for all the music. That is one thing when it comes to YouTube, making sure that you've got copyright.
Yeah.
You know, usage of mm-hmm. audio and stuff like that. And so I do use a sound service for all my music for me, which is a big deal. It may change or evolve in the future, but you know, I kind of start with a little intro about what we're doing and then roll into like, kind of like almost a short music sequence of about
right.
getting there.
Yeah.
Showing scenery. And so that's where I throw in the music. And then it rolls right into us fishing or camping or whatever. So that's kind of me. Yes.
A little larger here.
No, we're not.
Oh, no.
So set up the shot here, Paul. I think this was the first video you guys put out, you and your wife. Her name is...
Char,
that's right.
Yeah, so we wanted the intro video just to kind of let people know who we were and what we were going to do. And we weren't really set up for some production shot here. We were just playing around, and I had actually taken her to show some fly fishing areas that I had been going to, and so we were just kind of hanging out for the day, and I took this off-road spot.
Oh, my gosh!
And it had rained the day before, so I knew it was going to be muddy. And I had never taken her four-wheeler in the Toyota, so she, this was kind of an experience for her. So.
No.
Yeah, she was not ready for this, so this is quite hilarious. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I cannot.
We at prom.
What's up, guys? It's Paul from Castify. How's it going? I said guys, didn't I?
Yeah, what's up?
Because it's just not just guys.
No, it's everybody.
It's girls, too. Guy.
Take two.
Yeah, I love that outro there, that logo. And you know, one of the things is every shot in your video is beautiful. I mean, in Arkansas, or I guess you're in Missouri there too, I mean, every shot you take is like, what kind of camera do you use?
So I use my Apple iPhone. I think that was Apple iPhone 11 Pro or 11 whatever it is plus. And then my wife surprised me a while back and bought me a GoPro 8 black, which has been awesome. It's been amazing. It's so hard and difficult to shoot while fishing, you know, with an iPhone.
Right.
So our first videos were more
careful.
Not really. Yeah. And not really the full shot of like casting, whatever. It was always the catch or after the catch. So,
right.
You still have to shoot a lot of video to get the catch sequences. You don't want people to watch you casting a million times, you know?
Right.
So you kind of have to shoot a little short, you know, 5-10 minute video spots and then cut and then start again and just keep doing it. So when I edit, I have to go in and, you know, select all the shots that worked and then roll, have a bunch of B-roll shots, which is the scenery shots, outside of the action. And there'll be a lot more of that as we start exploring deeper into Arkansas. There's some amazing places we're going to visit. So, be tuned in for that.
So what's the future for the YouTube channel? What are you, you say you want to go travel around, what kind of stories are you looking to tell? And
yeah, really, that's what we really want to do is tell a story when we go somewhere. We try to add some historical flair into the video, you know, about where we're at, kind of market the area where we're at. So that's really the kind of the passion I have for it, is not just going wherever. We want to tell people about where we're at, how to get there, you know, maybe what to Google search to get there, you know, something like that. But for next year, can't say next year now, but
right,
this year, we're going to be doing some, I think there's two big trips on the books that we really looking forward to, which is, North Carolina.
Oh, cool.
There's a lot of cool fly fishing there. And then, we definitely want to take a trip to Colorado. So, mm-hmm. Those are two that, you know, the idea for our vehicle, for our Toyota, is that we're going to install a rooftop tent. I've been adding stuff as we go so that when we're on the road, we don't have to stay at a hotel. We can stay off the grid. We can be able to cook and camp and do everything we need to and then get right back to the adventure. So, no hotels.
Right. Right now it looks like you guys are like cold. When I see this, yeah. You guys are standing in the water. Of course you have waders on and things like that, gloves and whatnot. It just looks cold. Is it as cold as what I think it looks like?
Not really. I mean, it's a couple times when I think one of the last to second last videos I shot, I was pretty cold. The wind was blowing just right. But I'd stay pretty layered up. My legs never get cold.
Oh yeah,
in the water. I mean, I'm layered up. That's not a problem. I got good waders. So, really, your hands and face are the biggest two things that get cold. Especially if you have to put your hand down in the water. Which,
right.
Before you touch a trout, you should wet your hands. So that's a thing.
What's that? Why is that? Why is that?
Because if you have a dry hand and you touch, you know, when you pick up a fish and they're slimy,
mm-hmm.
Well, that slime needs to stay on that fish. But if your hand is dry, you're going to be pulling that slime coating off of him, which is not good. So if your hand's wet, it won't come off.
I'll be. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Of course, I feel like I'd be saying that a lot if I went fishing with you. Didn't know that. Didn't know that. Didn't know that.
And I learn something every day, man. I'm telling you, there is such a huge community of fly fishing guys and ladies out there that do an amazing job on YouTube and, you know, on Instagram. I follow a huge list of folks that are just amazing people all over the world. And they're always open to sharing, you know, their trips or ideas or best practices, whatever. And that's a lot of fun in itself. So sure,
the community.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
One of the things I watched this, your show, and it's part of my subscriptions. And for those of you listening, watching, you got to subscribe to the Cast a Fly show. So subscribe to the Cast a Fly show. The gear, I'm interested. I hope you get into gear because that's what kind of fish you catch, the gear that you use, why you use a particular gear. I've told you this before, the truck or the car or the SUV you use, just all that stuff. To me, I will probably never go on a trip like this, but through this channel, you're taking me virtually to these spots, how you fish, why you choose a spot. What's the temperature got to do with anything, you know? Just all these things. So I can see where I'm not trying to tell you how to do your show, but
no, that's on the production list. That's going to be happening. I've done a bunch of recent stuff, but I wanted to get a lot of that done before I shot a video on kind of the adders and stuff that I've done to the vehicle.
Yeah.
Still got a couple more things I'm working on. Just actually picked a new add-on yesterday from a guy here locally. Didn't have a need for it anymore, so he sold it to me cheap. So I'm able to adapt that into the vehicle now, which is
awning.
And so,
what'd you say? An awning?
Yeah, it's an awning that'll come off the back of the vehicle. So it'll be useful for sure when we're camping, because the back door swings open and you're able to cook and camp right there and kind of hang out. So it's kind of a hangout spot. But then also, there's been times when we tried to dress out with our waders on to go get in the water. Well, we're getting wet while we're putting waders on. So it'd be nice to have the awning pulled out and stay out of the rain for a little bit while we're getting ready and kind of preparing ourselves. So, and it's, I mean, you pull it out, you got it up in 5 seconds. I mean, it's pretty slick. So
it's cool.
But yeah, we'll be doing a kind of a showcase of the vehicle very soon for sure. I've made a couple stickers that'll soon be released, and you know, there are little funny sayings and stuff like that that only fly guys know. But if a person sees it on your vehicle, they kind of question what it means. So it has a double meaning, sort of. But a fly guy will definitely know what it means, and he will laugh about it. So there's some of that I'm working on. So there's a particular fly that's called a woolly booger. And just the name itself sounds pretty funny. Yeah. So it's a sticker that says, I like big woolly boogers. Right?
I like
so it. That sticker's coming soon. I already have them ordered. So, I mean, stuff like that. Yeah, there's a couple guys out there that have done something similar like that, and that really helped promote their YouTube channel. And so, just again, trying to build a brand a little bit. So
you should get a sticker that says Eugene! Exclamation point!
My wife would love that.
Yeah. Okay, man, that's so awesome. Well, good luck with the channel, and thanks for spending your time with us to talk about the Cast a Fly and story behind it. Scott.
No problem, man. I appreciate you taking time with me today.
Yeah, that was. I've been wanting to do this for a while, so I'm glad we finally met up and got it taken care of. Because I think it's fun to see something start from the very beginning. I mean, literally. Yep. I've started watching your show from the very beginning. So, you know, in 9-10 years, I expect we'll both be at some big, huge YouTube conference making millions of dollars a year.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Well, if you like this show, if you want to like, subscribe on YouTube, leave a comment on iTunes or anywhere you get your podcasts. If you could leave a review, like the show, share it. Subscribe to it. That'd be greatly appreciated. So, and the same goes for Paul. Check out his Cast a Fly YouTube channel. Like it, share it, subscribe. And are you on any podcasting platforms yet?
No, just really just promoting Instagram and and YouTube.
Where can they find what's the official YouTube channel name?
Cast a Fly Adventures.
And then on Instagram?
Same thing, Cast a Fly Adventures channel.
Okay, cool. So, for Paul Sally, this is Scott Townsend. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
The Scott Townsend Show is a Dietzo Man production. For more episodes, visit the Scott Townsend Show YouTube channel, listen on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. The Scott Townsend Show.